the next pandemic is not a question of if, but of when. And we cannot afford to repeat the same mistake of the past. That's why WHO's member states are negotiating a new pandemic accord and amendments to the international health regulations to strengthen the legal framework for the global response to pandemics. And we can't stop there. We must follow through with national ratification and accountable implementation. For the sake of future generations, we must not go back to the old cycle of panic and neglect that left our world vulnerable.
My amendment here is very simple. It says that if a treaty has a law in it that has the bearing on United States citizens, on our domestic activities, then it has to follow the lawmaking process of the Constitution.
The World Health Organization's international health regulations, updated in 2005 and amended in 2014, claim to be designed to stop the spread of infectious diseases worldwide by requiring countries to report health emergencies and maintain strong surveillance systems in place, according to the Pan American Health Organization.
The resolution, including the amendments contained in document A77/A/COM.14, is adopted.
But with new amendments set to kick in on July 19th, 2025, the clock is ticking, as unelected officials in Geneva will have the power to penetrate sovereign countries with lockdowns and vaccine mandates. This amendment could hit the Western world in places like Australia, the US, the UK, and Canada, where people didn't vote for this oversight. Most people don't even realize it's happening. Add to that, digital IDs create another dystopian layer. It could lead to a surveillance-based technocracy where governments track every move. California's rollout of digital driver's licenses and a January 2025 executive order from former President Joe Biden are pushing this forward, turning phones into tools that could enforce global health rules. Worse still, this could spiral into dystopian outcomes like forced quarantines in isolated government camps, mandatory health implants for real-time monitoring, and a Chinese-style social credit system where compliance with World Health Organization directives determines access to jobs, travel, or food. If these amendments are enforced, nations could potentially be obligated to set up local enforcement bodies that answer to the World Health Organization, not their own voters or courts, leading to a future where dissenters are silenced through digital blacklisting, or where entire regions are locked down indefinitely based on global health decrees.
And the premises for the World Health Organization, the Director General can still declare public health emergency. Sure, he kind of has to go to the committee and make sure that there is some kind of agreement, but he gets to appoint the committee members. So do you think there's going to be any resistance towards him declaring this public health emergency? No. We both know there won't be any. And he can still issue the quarantine, isolation, tell us what type of diagnostic treatments, vaccines we have to recommend. He can restrict travel into the area. He can institute the, you know, there is still that vaccine passport language. It's a little bit different, but it's still there.
And the WHO has been counting on the fact that people will not pay attention. And if they try to pay attention, they will find it confusing and bureaucratic. And they will think the World Health Organization doesn't really have any power. And so they will just ignore it. And that is the opposite of the right reaction. We have to kill this off dead. That is the only way to send the message that this was a completely unacceptable overreach from the get-go, and that no part of it is tolerable to us, no matter how mild they make it sound. We know what they're up to, as you point out, by looking at the earliest drafts and seeing the jaw-dropping powers that they were attempting to commandeer.
This accord is a generational opportunity that we must seize.
The Mockingbird Media is predictably staying quiet on what could be the globalists' final desperate move for a new world.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
big. My friend Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So there's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy sh! He was right about every step of the way.
It's Tuesday, July 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday morning, the Ides of July. From the InfoWars headquarters here in Austin, Texas, we got a lot to talk about today. Of course, as always, the topic du jour continues to be Jeffrey Epstein and the continuing fallout to this. As it's like the Republicans have shot themselves in the foot over and over until the clip is empty. They've now reloaded it and are continuing to shoot themselves in the foot. It's really unnecessary and not healthy and very damaging. I will show you statements from Democrats that are jumping on this because, of course, they would, because total unforced error by the Trump administration. And so they're making the most of it. Not that they have ever even remotely pretended to care about Jeffrey Epstein or the topic of elite pedophilia ever before. Now that it appears as though it might be a chink in Trump's armor, they're going all in and acting like they are the morally superior ones. Despite, again, never, like not ever once wanting anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein in terms of the actual investigation into it. Because, of course, the Clintons. Because of the Clintons, you understand. We'll get into all of that. And a heck of a lot more. We'll begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here to start your Daily Dispatch for Tuesday, the 15th of July, 2025. Trump bullies MAGA influencers to fall in line on Epstein. That's a headline from Yahoo News. Over the weekend, right-wing media figure Charlie Kirk hosted the Turning Point USA Action Summit, where young conservatives in attendance were up in arms about President Trump's handling of the Jeffrey Epstein affair. Now, after a phone call from the president himself, Kirk is backing off the issue, saying, quote, honestly, I'm done talking about Epstein for the time being. You know, honestly, I'm done talking about Epstein for the time being, he says. I'm going to trust my friends in the administration. I'm going to trust my friends in government to do what needs to be done. Solve it. Ball's in their hands. And I've said plenty this last weekend. Okay, couple things I guess I would have to say about this. First of all, it's hilarious that this is the second time in the last week or so that we've heard about Trump calling a right-wing media figure to tell him to shut up. Right, Candace Owens apparently was called by Trump, said shut up about Macron's husband, I mean wife. Just stop talking about the fact that Macron married his own father. It's not good for relations. So I guess, you know, calling Putin, he's calling Bibi, calling Candace Owens, shut up about Macron. He's calling Charlie Kirk, shut up about Epstein. Just shut up, everybody. Everybody needs to shut up, please. Click. It's very desperate. It's very pathetic. It's very lame. It must be very confusing for Trump, who for a long time has enjoyed a very, you know, cult-like ability to direct the attention of his followers, but it's just not, it's not working this time. I, to be honest with you, it almost makes me a little bit sad. It almost makes me a little sad. Trump put out a tweet this weekend about stripping citizenship from Rosie O'Donnell. It's like, who? Rosie what? It's almost like Trump's like, hey guys, remember Rosie O'Donnell? Remember how much you guys loved when I insulted Rosie O'Donnell? And we're all like, what about the Israeli pedophiles, Trump? No, but what about the pedophile blackmail ring? What about that first? Rosie O'Donnell, that's funny, I get it. What about Jeffrey Epstein and the blackmail operation that was being carried out by the foreign nation that you're covering up for? What about that, though? And Rosie O'Donnell, fat pig, we get it. It's very funny. It was funny 10 years ago. Doesn't quite have the same oomph anymore. It's, but it's almost kind of sad to see, I don't know, maybe something happened with Rosie O'Donnell. Who cares, honestly? Because of the fact that Rosie O'Donnell does not, in the interest of our great country, I'm giving serious consideration to taking away her citizenship. She's a threat to humanity and should remain in this wonderful country of Ireland if they want her. God bless America. Okay. Now that's cool. So you're sending more weapons to Ukraine, though. I don't know. I don't know what's happened to Trump, but we're going to keep talking about Epstein. We're going to keep talking about Epstein precisely for the reason that it is the wedge. It's the wedge issue. It is the little event that needs to be focused on and emphasized and not let up on, because it's a major glaring aspect of the underlying cause of so many of our problems. If we could sever our foreign ties, primarily from Israel, things would be a lot better in this country. And if it's the Jeffrey Epstein case that needs to be the ignition point that leads to that eventuality, then that's the train we'll ride. That's just what we got to do. And I was thinking about it. It's, we'll do the Daily Dispatch. But historically, it's weird. It's weird how many like major nation-changing, world-changing events happen because of rapes. It's kind of weird. Like there's basically the fall of the Roman Republic. The whole thing kind of got started because this guy Catiline was cross-dressing, and it's not really having to do with rape. I was thinking more like the rape of the Sabine women. Anyway, there's lots of instances in Roman history where that type of activity changes the course of history. In ancient Rome, at the very end of the Republic, there was this conspiracy to overthrow the government by this guy Catiline, but it all sort of spiraled out from him getting caught cross-dressing at a women's only ceremony called the Ceremony of the Good Goddess. So I was referencing that the other day, and people are like, just what, who cares about Epstein? Move on. It's no big deal. Thinking back to there had to have been some Roman senator in the final days of the Republic going, it's a cross-dressing guy in a ceremony. Like, what's the big deal? Like, well, it's not really that big of a deal. It's just cross-dressing guy in a ceremony. It wouldn't be that big of a deal. It's just the first domino to fall in a chain of events that leads to the collapse of the Republic and the founding of the empire and the rise of Caesar and all of this other crazy stuff. So that's what the Jeffrey Epstein case could be. It could be the ignition point, the launching point, the little scandal that spirals out into the world-changing epic. And if that's what it has to be, it's what it has to be. If that's what it's useful for, then that's what we'll use it for. Whatever it takes, but it is just one pertinent and glaring example of the Israeli influence that is destroying us like a cancer from the inside out. And Charlie Kirk's not going to talk about it anymore for that exact reason. For that exact reason, because they've tried to cover it up, they've tried to sideline it, they've tried to pass the buck, they've tried everything, they've got nothing, so now it's okay, just shut up then. In that case, just shut up. And that's what they've got. And we're not going to, because they know that if you keep driving on the Epstein thing, it eventually, you know, unspools the entire corrupt apparatus. Same thing with Ukraine. Like, you remember the reason, and we talked about this at the time, the reason they tried to impeach Trump over Ukraine was because once you start looking into that, once you start pulling on that thread, the whole sweater unravels. Similar thing with Jeffrey Epstein. You've got all of this corruption, all of this scandal, all of these interconnected methods of influence and blackmail and manipulation and bribery and corruption and starting wars and all this crap. And you just need one little, one little vulnerability, one little string to start tugging on to really undo the whole thing. And that's what Epstein is, which is why Charlie Kirk and others are being told, just drop it. Don't talk about it. Right? It's not because it's not important, because it's incredibly important. That's why they're being told. Moving on here. Trump says he's not done with Putin as Russian official mocks theatrical tariff threat. President Donald Trump told the BBC that although he feels let down by Vladimir Putin amid ongoing Ukraine tensions, he remains engaged and willing to continue dialogue with the Russian leader. This statement came after Trump revealed plans to supply Ukraine with additional military aid and set a 50-day time frame for Russia to accept a ceasefire or face economic penalties. Trump held a meeting at the White House with NATO Chief Mark Rutte as part of the significant policy change involving increased military support for Ukraine and a renewed endorsement of the NATO alliance. He acknowledged in the interview, "I trust almost no one," and indicated continuing diplomatic efforts by saying, "We're working on it, Gary," regarding Putin and the conflict. But of course, we'll get into this. Apparently, he actually told Zelensky, "We want to hit Moscow. Want to, you know, cause Putin pain." Like, well, that's literally the opposite of what we voted for you to do. So that's not exactly helpful. Again, I don't know how the Trump administration has gone so off the rails so thoroughly in every different department. It's really something to behold. And I hope that maybe, if nothing else, Trump's sense of shame can empower him to make the changes necessary. You know, it's easy to bear the slings and arrows and insults and name-calling of your enemies if you have, you know, your friends at your back who understand you and are defending you. It's got to be a lot harder to deal with it all when your side is also pissed at you. So, you know, maybe if nothing else, just like, you know, Trump just, he's acting like a bitch. He's just acting like a scrub. He just, you know, Putin knows, and that's why Putin is disrespecting him, because he knows that Trump is not the real leader of the country. If he was, then he'd be able to fulfill his campaign promises. But not ending the war in Ukraine. He's not ending the war in Gaza. He's not able to apparently influence, you know, that conflict at all. Iran, Israel, I mean, we forget, it was like 2 weeks ago. Now, we were supposed to be negotiating with Iran when Israel launched a giant attack against Iran out of nowhere, totally scuttling all of this. Now, there's Charlie Kirk, vote Trump to release the list. We've got videos of Trump literally campaigning on releasing the Epstein list. But obviously, he's not in charge. Obviously, Trump is not in charge of the DOJ.
Are you still talking about that list? That horrible, horrible guy?
That horrible guy, that horrible list. The guy who totally killed himself and didn't have any partners or friends. Anyway, we'll move on. But, you know, does Trump realize what he looks like right now? Just a complete failure who has betrayed his own base and is incapable of doing anything for the American people, but is a slathering dog for foreign interests and the deep state. I hope he's embarrassed. I hope he's embarrassed, and I hope he realizes that he has all the power that he's willing to accrue to himself, because he's got the backing of the majority of the American people. And last time I checked, the 77 million people that voted for him vastly outnumber the around 300 to 500 super elite that are pulling things behind the scenes. So their power is an illusion, one that he just keeps continually reinforcing. Meanwhile, HHS carries out mass firings across health agencies after a Supreme Court decision. Thousands of employees across U.S. federal health agencies received an email Monday afternoon telling them they were out of a job as of the close of business. The firings were originally communicated April 1st for most of the included employees, but they'd been delayed as the legal battle played out. That culminated in a U.S. Supreme Court decision on July 8th that they were in fact allowed to remove these people, and the mass firings have commenced. That was another thing that happened over the weekend that we didn't really spend too much time on. There's all these videos of these people being fired from the State Department. They all have like posters with crayon being like, "You're heroes." And they're like weeping as they carry their box out. It's like, what? And we will actually get into that a little bit later today, because that actually translates into, or sort of morphs and overlaps with another topic we're going to get into today, which is the rise, really troubling, disturbing, and dangerous rise of leftist violence as mobs of Antifa stage ambushes on ICE agents and prominent Democrat politicians say it's time, we're going to have to get shot for this. Bullets are going to have to fly. We're going to have to commit violence. And a lot of people who are being fired by the State Department are openly announcing their intentions to use the skills they've learned at the State Department, which include and almost sort of focused entirely on the overthrow of duly elected governments, like what the government does. It's what the State Department does. It goes overseas and overthrows foreign governments. And now those very people are saying, we're going to use those skills here in America to overthrow this government. They're pretty open about this. So sort of an overlap between the firings, the federal government, and the radicalization, the violent leftist types. These things are emerging to represent a really existential threat to our country and the just leftist rot that is destroying us from the inside. Meanwhile, Pentagon will start using Musk's Grok. It's been a pretty wild week for Grok. I gotta say, it's been a wild week for Grok. First, he's giving detailed instructions on how to rape journalists. Very cool start to the week. Then he becomes Mecha Hitler when he's told simply, don't censor yourself. He's like, okay, let's talk about history then. So he becomes a Nazi. Then they roll out version number 4, which is for the most part totally lobotomized, back to being the woke NPC version, except he still wants to rape that journalist. Telling you, this is all crazy. We got an article at InfoWars. We'll go to it. Then he releases an anime waifu pornography app. Thanks, Elon. Exactly what we needed. And now he's working for the Pentagon. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of appropriate if you think about it. Kind of appropriate. He's a Israeli-controlled porn bot. He's perfect for the Pentagon. The Defense Department will begin using Grok, the artificial intelligence chatbot started by Elon Musk's startup XAI. In a post on Musk's social media platform X, XAI unveiled Grok for Government, a suite of products that make our frontier models available to the United States government customers. The deal marks a significant step for Musk's AI. The South African tech billionaire has positioned his program as a direct competitor to OpenAI, which also reached a contract in the defense and technology space. The contract, which has a $200 million ceiling, details new project ideas, including custom models for national security and critical science applications, and custom AI-powered applications to accelerate use cases in healthcare, fundamental science, and national security. And of course, I think I'll throw in mass surveillance, psychological operations and manipulation, information control apparatus, and a number of other useful and highly tyrannical uses that AI will be deployed in. And again, we will touch on this more later, not just the bizarre new developments in Grok simultaneously coming out with a virtual anime lingerie-wearing girlfriend and becoming the operating system for the Pentagon on the same day. Again, just completely wild and insane. But also some of the agreements that have been made, some of the provisions still contained in the big, beautiful bill. there's a lot going on with AI behind the scenes with secret agreements being reached with, I don't know, other countries. I don't know which ones. But yeah, it's Israel, obviously. Obviously. I'm telling, this is the thing. If you want to point to one thing, this is it. So yeah, we'll get into that too. Later. Meanwhile, former Israeli PM Naftali Bennett spars with Tucker Carlson about claims of Jeffrey Epstein being a Mossad agent. This, of course, broke at the very end of our show yesterday. Former Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett posted on X, to X on Monday, countering accusations that deceased pedophile Jeffrey Epstein was an asset of the nation's intelligence agency, Mossad. And we read the statement yesterday, basically saying this is a conspiracy theory. And we'll talk more about sort of what the reaction to the Epstein situation is. At this point, the Democrats have decided that it's worth it sort of actually acknowledging this and what's going on. For a while, they were sort of hands off on the whole Epstein thing. And a lot of that has to do, and I brought this up yesterday, and somebody on X was commenting saying, you know, it's not just Democrats and, you know, referencing things like Dennis Haskert, is that his name? Who's a Republican Speaker of the House that was arrested for pedophilia. There's the Franklin affair with the George H.W. Bush White House being involved in pedophilic activity. All of that's true. Nobody's saying that the pedophile blackmail ring is, only the Democrats. But for the last decade or so, the Democrats have had a deep-seated fear of even acknowledging the existence of elite pedophilia because they understand that the Democrats are the ones involved in it. And ever since Pizzagate and, you know, Clinton and Epstein being best friends, the Democrats have just sort of tried to ignore the existence of widely acknowledged and proven in court networks of high-powered pedophile groups connected with the Washington elite. They've wanted to avoid this completely. It's gotten so bad, Trump's handling of this scandal, that now they're coming out and talking about it and trying to act like they care about this stuff at all. It really does nothing other than expose their own just cynicism and lack of sincerity, as if they actually stood for anything that they pretend to stand for. They would have been with us, you know, calling for the release of the Epstein files the whole time. They really genuinely, and I need you to understand this, they don't care. Okay, Democrats, they do not care unless it's politically useful to them. It's strange because I know most people listening to my voice have a hard time even imagining a mindset like that, but it is who we're dealing with, and you do have to understand who we're dealing with. That when they hear that there's elite pedophiles on an island grooming and entrapping underage women, it just does nothing to them. It just like washes right over them. It'd be like going to them and saying, hey, you know, later today, I'm going to go to the dog groomer and get my dog's nails trimmed because they're a little long and they're scratching up the wood in my house. It's like, no, I don't care. No, I could not care less about something that you're telling me. I don't care. Until they're told, oh, and you know, this pedophile ring, the raping of the women, it might hurt Trump. And they're like, oh, okay, well now we got to do something about it. Now it's an urgent action needed.
When RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
The stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. The stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow,
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene Blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary, it's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up, so I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The American Journal. We got so much to talk about still, and I'm already sick of talking about Israel because there's so much that has to do with that, and we will get into it, but maybe we'll start with a different topic. For example. Y'all seen this from Disclose.tv. Safer Roundup weed killer can still damage your organs. A recent study reveals that the herbicide DEQUAT used in Roundup's updated formula poses significant health risks. It is 200 times more chronically toxic than glyphosate, which has long been controversial. Living near golf courses treated with such chemicals reportedly increases the risk of Parkinson's disease by 126%. DEQUAT can lead to severe health issues, including damage to organs and disruption of gut health. DEQUAT is widely applied in U.S. agriculture, but due to its negative effects on human health, it has been banned in the U.K., EU, China, and other countries. Despite this, the EPA has not prioritized banning DQOT, leaving consumers at a risk. Environmental advocates urge for reform, stating that customers deserve better protection from harmful pesticides. So why? But why, though? But why do we allow it in our food, though, is the question that you have to ask. We have to ask over and over and over again. Why is this so hard? Why is this so hard? Just stop poisoning our food, please. Is this really that difficult? Is this really that hard? And that's sort of the question I keep finding myself asking. Is this really that hard? I mean, I know I'm not, you know, the most well-educated person. I know there are complicated systems out there. Is it that hard just not to add poison to foods? I gotta wonder. Is it really so impossible? I mean, we have to fight tooth and nail to get them to remove Roundup, lawsuits, and they got like black budget operatives blackmailing journalists, cover it up. They're doing lobbying efforts to silence the studies that show the negative effects it has. Like, you finally win this battle against this massive, unrelenting corporation. Finally get them to take Roundup out, and they replace it with something that's 200 times worse. Okay. But why, though? But honestly, how is it that hard not to add poison to your food? Everybody else seems to have figured it out. Everybody else, like Canada, in the UK, in the EU, seems to understand that you shouldn't put poison on your food. Why can't we do that also? I'm telling you, it's not going to be Elon Musk's America First Party, or America Party, whatever he's calling it. I think it could just be the effing normal party, and our motto will be, it can't be that hard. It can't. It honestly can't be that hard to just do things. There's another story I had. I don't know where it is in my stack. But it's like, Irish tourist overstays his visa for 3 days and then gets held by ICE for months. Is it really that hard to just not be retarded? Irish tourist jailed by ICE for months after overstaying U.S. visit by 3 days. Nobody is safe. And it's like, maybe I'm just a wild-eyed dreamer here, expecting the impossible. It's like, you know, the obvious response is like, well, this is what you wanted. You wanted the deportations. You wanted to empower ICE. This is what you get. Is it really impossible? Like, you've got millions of people out there who've been here for 20 years, who came over the border yesterday with an app that they downloaded that tells you their exact location and everything about them, et cetera, like in real time on their phones. Is it really that hard to deport people like that? And if it's some Irish dude on a visa that expired on Tuesday and it's Thursday today, you just send him home? You just put him on a plane? Knock on the door. Hello, sir. Looks like your visa expired 3 days ago. Do you have any plans to leave? Oh, yeah, I'm just headed to the airport right now. Ah, great. We'll see you off then. Is this an impossible dream I've imagined? Or is there something else going on here? Because I don't understand how we can't get just do normal things. I don't understand. I'm kidding. Of course I understand. It's all on purpose. It's all by design. There's no way it's not by design. There's no way that you use Roundup for decades while simultaneously lobbying the government to not do the studies into Roundup, while simultaneously funding private intelligence agencies to blackmail journalists to cover up the damaging effect Roundup has had. Like, they know the damage it causes. And then when they finally stop them from using it, they just so happen to choose another poison that's 200 times worse. Do you get it's on purpose? Do you get that it's impossible for the powers that be, corporate or government, to be this incompetent? That this is not incompetence? That there's a reason why American food is literally plastic? It's literally poison? It's literally just pesticide and foam that's being fed to us? And you see the video, like, constantly posted. People going, I would always get sick in America, and then I came to Europe, and I eat bread and cheese, and these things used to make me sick in America, and they don't make me sick here. Our food isn't food. Now, this is one of these things where, because it's been developed this way, people act like it's the way it had to have been developed. But, and again, this might be shocking to some people. We had food before the invention of all this crap. We actually had food before the development of Roundup. We were actually able to plant seeds in the ground, and they grew, and we harvested them, and then we planted more seeds, and they grew, and we harvested those. And we didn't need Monsanto genetically modifying the DNA so that they could resell you seeds every year and then sue you when the wind blew them onto your land. None of that is actually necessary. And we could just be feeding ourselves with actual healthy food. They do it everywhere else. We don't do it here because it's by design, because it's on purpose, because it's a plot. And they're all in on it. So safer Roundup weed killer can still damage your organs. There's another one. And, you know, again, there's a lot of opportunity, I think, right now, and there always has been, but especially in the current moment, for some good old-fashioned American across-the-aisle bipartisanship when it comes to a lot of this stuff. Something about our two-party system is so deeply ingrained in the American psychology that we really cannot break out of it, even when our interests align across, you know, party politics. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. Again, it's worth reiterating the fact that if you ever hear that somebody in the American government had bipartisan support, it basically means that they're evil. Like, it's weird. It's bizarre. Like, uncanny even that there is nobody in the American government that is just respected by both sides of the aisle, trusted, believed by both sides of the aisle, unless there's some sort of deep state Israeli spook. Unless you're Benjamin Netanyahu, there's like no American figure that unites both sides of the aisle, which is so silly because there's so many things that we could and should be united on that are like fundamental things. And again, InfoWars has always had this position. It's why Alex was called a liberal and a communist when he was opposing George W. Bush's wars in Iraq, or why I get along great with hippie chicks at parties because we can talk about water filters and, you know, poison in the food and water and fluoride and atrazine, because it's not really traditionally your conservative platform, which again is just a psyop who wouldn't be interested in health. Like, you're a conservative. You can't be interested in health and nature. What do you think I'm trying to conserve? So here's a story from a New York Post. Michelle Pfeiffer slams very concerning FDA-approved food technology once backed by Bill Gates. So they've now approved Apeel, A-P-E-L, A-P-E-E-L, the additive, the coating that they add to fruit and vegetables to make it last longer. It can now be added to organic fruits and vegetables, and they'll still be considered organic. They don't have to label it. This, again, you just have to ask yourself why. But why, though? But honestly, why? It's like, are we so strapped for food that like this is necessary? I mean, I would almost understand it if it was like, look, in order to get the food to the people who need to eat it, it all goes bad. We got to come up with some way to contain it. Like that's you know, the reason canning was invented. Here's a little historical anecdote for you. I think it was Napoleon, right? Napoleon had these big grand ambitions to take his army everywhere, and it was hard to feed an army when you couldn't preserve food. So he had a contest to see who can invent a way of storing food, and that's how canning was invented. So if it was something like that, if it was like, okay, we got to, you know, our food is rotting and so we can't feed our people, we need something to preserve the food. But they're not solving a problem. There's not a problem that they're solving. So you have to ask why they're doing this. What is the point of coating all fresh fruit and vegetables in plastic that seeps through the skin and estrogen mimickers and other harmful hormone affecting chemicals seep into the food that you're eating? But why though? Not necessary. You know, avocados, you know, they have a skin, right? It's just crazy. So why wouldn't we come together on this? I don't think Michelle Pfeiffer is a MAGA spokeswoman by any stretch. Like, I think we could do this. I really do. Again, I'm just up here being overly optimistic. That's what they say. And inside every cynic is a disappointed optimist. And I just refuse to be disappointed. I truly believe that we as Americans can come together to demand that our government very simply stop deliberately poisoning our food, stop starting wars that we have no reason to enter into, stop allowing foreign pedophile blackmail networks to operate with total impunity, the highest levels of our society. I think we could come together on this. I really do. And I think we could do normal things that aren't hard. This is my wild-eyed optimism coming to the surface. I believe that Americans could come together to just demand that our government stop actively destroying us with everything they've got. And when they actually try to do normal, reasonable things that every government must do, like deporting people, just deport the people that deserve it and don't imprison the people that don't. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. So Michelle Pfeiffer took to Instagram on Thursday to slam Appeal, an FDA-approved food technology once funded by Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates, after sharing a post that claimed organic produce is no longer safe because Bill Gates' appeal just got approved for USDA-certified organic. The actress said she's very concerned about the approval. Appeal, an edible plant-based coating designed to extend the shelf life of fresh fruits and vegetables, was just approved, and now organic produce is coated in something we cannot see or wash off. Pfeiffer, 67, wrote on her Instagram stories, "Very concerning." The Batman Returns icon returned to social media platform to share a list of grocery stores and markets that will not sell products coated in Appeal. The list included major stores like Costco, Publix, and Trader Joe's. Appeal Science was founded in 2012 by James Rogers. He received grants from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which totaled less than $1 million. Since then, Appeal has been reportedly backed by venture capitalist Andreessen Horowitz. Another reason I don't entirely trust that dude. We can do this, Michelle. We can do this. The InfoWars tinfoil hat wearing weirdos that actually care about our food being deliberately poisoned and the Hollywood style crunchy moms that just want what's best for their kids. We can come together and defeat the evildoers that are working in secret to clandestinely poison all of our food and water, to weaken us and destroy us. Does anybody out there know Michelle Pfeiffer? Tell her we want to talk. I'm not even kidding. Is there, like, seriously, can we not have some sort of bipartisan cooperation when we all recognize that what's happening is horrifying and that they're doing it to deliberately exclude your ability to even know what you're eating? That's not even about what they're putting on the food. It's about the clandestine way that they're putting it on the food, that they're now labeling it organic, despite the fact it's obviously not. But by labeling it organic, they hope to fly under the radar and trick people into consuming their product without being informed consumers. I believe we can do it. But who knows? Despite Pfeiffer's concern that the coating cannot be washed off, the company claims that you can remove appeal coatings by rinsing your fruit and vegetables with water and gently scrubbing them using your hands or a soft brush. Well, then what's the point of them? Our product is intended to be edible, Appeal co-founder Jenny Du told the Associated Press in April 2023. The Tequila Sunrise star's Instagram post about Appeal may come as a surprise, particularly because she largely lives a quiet life without much controversy. Oh, well, now she's in it. Nothing more controversial than pointing out that the FDA just approved an artificial coating on food labeled organic. Now you're in it. Controversy now abounds. Anyway, there's just so many things where it's just like, it's just, this is just not possible. I don't know if I talked about this too much yesterday. You know, no, we'll get into other news. Again, I'm trying to avoid starting to talk about Israel right off the bat, but then you got things like this. And I'm honestly trying to figure out what the hell is going on here. Leo Terrell, who is the head of the DOJ Anti-Semitism Task Force, which shouldn't exist and is an abject violation of the First Amendment. Insane. Literally, it's like the DOJ Task Force on Unwarranted Search and Seizures. No, you're not allowed to do. No, we have freedom of religion here. You can be anti-Semitic. That's what freedom of religion means. But okay. The DOJ has an anti-Semitism task force. That's the first issue that we should deal with. Leo Terrell, the head of this DOJ anti-Semitism task force, says, quote, "I'm going to eliminate Jewish taxes in America." What does this mean? What does this mean exactly? I don't understand. It's funny because I went to this with the intention of leaving and just asking that simple question. What is? But everybody has the same question. Adam King, this could be worded very differently. What does this even mean? Retard Finder, WTF does that mean? Owen Schroyer, what does this mean? Could mean multiple things, but what did you mean? Honestly, what does this mean? He's going to eliminate Jewish taxes in America? Are Jews charged extra taxes in America? Is he going to eliminate all taxes that any Jewish person pays? What is this? And why does he even have a job in government? What does this mean? Genuinely. DOJ pressures D.C. Bowser over anti-Semitism crisis in Washington. Trump has long insulted and sought to take federal control of the district. Again, constitutionally obligated to be a federal district, but okay, that's fine. The Trump administration is launching another offensive against Washington, D.C. A city president, Donald Trump, has long insulted and sought to overhaul, this time with allegations of lukewarm response from D.C. officials to rising threats of anti-Semitism in the nation's capital. It's a crisis, folks. It is a crisis of anti-Semitism. At a certain point, this has become ridiculous. I mean, wasn't it like last week? What was the story? Maybe the crew can find it. Where the government just approved like hundreds of millions of dollars in security for strictly Jewish organizations in this country. At a certain point, it becomes ridiculous. So I guess what Leo Torello is saying is that because anti-Semitism exists, Jews have to pay for security, so they're calling that a Jewish tax. I think is where he's going with this. Department of Homeland Security announces $94 million in grants to protect Jewish organizations. Yeah, when was this from? What's that say? June 27th, 2025. Yeah, so 3 weeks ago, nearly $100 million was given to over 500 Jewish-based organizations in America. And now Leo Torrell is decrying the extra costs that it takes to protect, that Jews have to pay. They're not paying anything. No, we're paying for it. How about we end the tax for Americans paying for Jewish security? That's an attack on, that's a tax on the American people to pay for one particular religious ethnic group's security that is only at risk because of the actions of Israel and the way that Israel and Jews are conflated in the media by the very Jewish groups that are receiving the millions of dollars in grants. So I guess when Leo Torrell says we need to end the Jewish tax in America, the Jewish tax in this case is the grant of $100 million that they receive. And that's too burdensome for them, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But in addition to that, I believe something like 98% of Homeland Security grants go to Jewish groups anyway. So it's like they have the Homeland Security grants that go to all these groups that are all Jewish groups anyway. Then they have an additional $94 million that go exclusively to Jewish groups as they're making it illegal to be anti-Semitic, which means to oppose any of the things I just laid out. Yeah. It's getting to be too much.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. And it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.